Chapter 52. To Joshua's untutored eye, the open-top electric cart looked identical to Phillida Green's, a wheeled box of some smooth white plastic. He did wonder how it kept its energy topped up. From supply points in the street? For the first few minutes, Lobsang drove respectfully slowly, and the cart moved almost silently along the roughly restored asphalt of Monroe Street. By now, they were well within Phillida's red zone, as Joshua could tell, from a plethora of signposts with glaring scarlet warning discs, radiation hazard symbols, and free call emergency telephones. Yellowstone ash was heaped up by the side of the road and filled up the interiors of the roofless houses, as if it had been poured in. The cart jolted over a bump in the road, making the two old men in the back groan. Looking over his shoulder, Joshua saw that the asphalt had been melted here and had then solidified in a frozen wave. They were reaching downtown now, the central zone of the nuclear devastation, and Lobsang slowed further. Here, many buildings had been flattened to their foundations, though others, some of the more solidly built office blocks and public buildings, had withstood the blast to varying extents. Of course, nothing had been rebuilt. Only gaudily coloured monitoring stations and emergency medical centres had been erected amid the ruins. But the green was sprouting everywhere it could, pushing through layers of cracked concrete and asphalt, despite the radiation, despite the climate collapse. Life going on. The mound on which the Capitol building had once stood had been blown apart. They slowed to a halt in the rubble. Flowers swayed between concrete blocks.
"I suppose I owe you both an apology," Nelson said. "It's my fault you are both here, drawn away from places you'd much sooner be, I'm sure."
"Not in my case," Joshua said promptly. "I'd got myself thoroughly lost for once, out in the high megas."
"I'm glad you've been preserved, of course, Joshua," Lobsang said now. "If only to hear of your encounter with a new form of troll, new to me, anyhow."
"Huh. Even you don't know it all, do you, Lobsang?"
"Not yet."
"And I'm sorry, too, that I had to bring you back from Tibet, Lobsang," Nelson said. The ambulant unit shrugged, a rather mechanical gesture.
"I had to return eventually. To disappear into such virtual environments, into one's own head, is an endless temptation for one such as me. And yet I seem to need such refuges from time to time."
He glanced over the shattered Capitol.
"I remember how you shunned my company for years, Joshua, after the nuclear detonation here. You wondered how I, a being like a god, could have failed to stop such an obvious wrong as the attack on the city. Yet there are times when I cannot even save myself. Here we are in this museum of destruction, where, you know, the young, the long Earth generations, come to try to understand. And in fact, it's the enthusiasm and the curiosity of the young that I hope will lead us to your lost grandson, Nelson. I'm speaking of the invitation from the sky and the Thinker engineering project that the Next have developed in response."
Nelson frowned. "What has that got to do with Troy and the vanishing traversers?"
"Join us," Joshua said, understanding now.
"That's the link. The invitation from the sky. The Next heard it through their radio telescopes, and it seeped into the consciousness of the trolls. Even I heard it, I guess," he added ruefully. "Join us," like a nagging at the back of my head. "I suppose the traversers must have heard it too, somehow."
"The long Earth has always been a matter of the mind, as well as the body," Lobsang said. "You see, Nelson? I have no idea where the traversers took your grandson, or how to follow them, but the Next are building a giant engine in response to the same invitation that seems to have lured the traversers. I believe our best bet of finding Troy and the traversers
is to work with the Next and follow them," Nelson breathed. "I see. And how do we do that?"
So Lobsang told them about Jan Roderick, a boy under the care of the sisters at the home, and his matter printing. enthusiasm and curiosity. That's what the Next have exploited to get their engine built. A million kids like Jan, turning out their baffling components, adding to the vast flow of material and labour into their construction site of a world. And now Jan is out there himself. What I intend us to do is to follow the trail leading from the home on Allied Drive to that construction site. Its location itself is no secret, but through Jan, I hope to find a way to contact the project's superiors. And through them, perhaps. Well, that's the plan. And the very first step is to speak to Sister John. Shall we return to West 5? If we simply step over, we'll be at the centre of town, of course, where a more comfortable transport cart is available. This cart will find its own way home.
And then we must plan our next steps, Nelson said firmly.
When they'd gone, the electric cart, its gleaming white flanks stained by soot and ash, sat silently for 5 full minutes. Some of the insects attending the flowers that flourished in the wreck of the Capitol mound inspected it curiously. Finding no nectar, they turned away. Then the cart swiveled neatly and started to roll back the way it had come, towards the west. Moving almost silently, in all the red zone, it was the only object in motion, larger than a cat.